So just doing it, just putting it out there, doing something that you're proud of. Again, this show is about kind of surviving and making it through. So just make it through to whatever degree. That is enough. Do you know what I mean? Because that is success. Because like that's something. And like, it doesn't matter about reviews. You know what I mean? Like, of course, like if you get that 5-star, great. If you get any stars, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? Because like, just doing the thing that you love, and just making sure you still love it. Because at the end of Edinburgh, if you haven't had two massive breakdowns about if this is what you want to do, then you haven't done it properly. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's just, it's about coming out. It's not about, I don't think it's about experience, because I think you picked that up. And it is about experience in the fact that you're there to grow your act. But don't think you're going to, I think if you go in with the expectation that you're there to kind of make it big or do something which is going to like this new pivotal moment, I don't think it's that, but I think it does, it builds up resilience. You know, I think it kind of builds that kind of like, it puts some kind of experience on your belt in terms of the way that you feel more secure about what you're doing. You know what I mean? Or at least it puts you in the right frame of mind. But I would say surviving, and also just kind of like, I love Edinburgh because it's like a little comedy camp for comedians. And you get to hang out with people I don't see very often. And it's, I think, just enjoying yourself as much as you possibly can in this weird little city. Do you know what I mean? It's about that.
That's wonderful. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So, it's my absolute pleasure to be speaking to Joy France and Scully, who will be performing their show, Joy and Scully, 2:15, Sunday the 17th of July. What can we expect to see?
A mixed bag of a narrative with storytelling, like poetry, music, scripted scene, and not... go on, you take over from that.
Yeah, it's hard to say what it is. It's easy to say what it isn't.
Yeah.
It's not, nothing's made up. It's actually real life things.
Yeah.
But with, and it's a whole mixture of emotions, and it's basically us, our story.
This is fantastic. So is it like scripted?
Yeah, but it's on radio. So I think to make most sense, if we actually just describe what we look like for a start, because you would never picture the two of us together.
No.
So you describe what you look like.
Well, I have got a skull tattoo on my face. I am a shaved head, and I get followed around, even Aldi, quite often.
Tall, skinny.
Yeah.
Often wearing a cap.
Yeah.
And people assume a thug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic picture of a wrongan.
Wrongan, exactly. Yeah, totally. And whereas I am a classic picture of everybody's nanny and grandma or whatever, short, fat, white hair, you know, smiley face and all the rest. And the show is about, I mean, the thing is, people have misconceptions about both of us.
Yeah.
They think I'm a sweet granny and I've got a different side to me.
Yeah.
And people think you're a thug.
Yeah, and if they think that I'm a certain person, that scapegoat, they don't get to know me. If you spend longer than 10 minutes and you talk to me, you'll realise that, you know what, once upon a time, I was an absolute lunatic, but nowadays, you know, it's the opposite. And I don't want to say too much because it's part of the show. But
yeah, it's essentially we're now best friends.
Yeah.
Over the last sort of 18 months, we've had the most amazing adventures, and it's quite transformative for both of us.
Yeah,
and so the show there's a lot of themes in it that we don't want to spend too much, but obviously I was a teacher and Scully was thrown out of school and
loads.
I worked with young offenders and Scully was
a young offender
so on, and our lives are on completely different trajectories. That's a big word to use on the radio.
And then we met somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And this is really taking an honest look with all sorts of emotions in a little distilled hour.
Yeah.
So you guys met through battle rap, wasn't it? That the genre that is known as battle rap.
Yes,
that's correct. Yeah.
Not somewhere. It's a sort of environment you would find Scully, but you wouldn't find anybody like me.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And can I just ask you what first drew you to that, Joy? What made you first go, you know what, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, so to speak?
yeah, I still scratch my head and wonder why. No, why I thought it. I wanted to show people in that world that somebody like me could do it and give them a run for their money. Because basically, I wanted to bust their stereotyped ideas of somebody like me. And what actually happened, without giving too much away, because there's a little bit of this in the show. The show doesn't feature just around background. Yeah. This is a small aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically what happened, I met people like Scully and just discovered the most amazing scene where young men in particular, they talk about their mental health, they support each other, they just wrap their arms around me and without even blinking, and I'm just part of that scene now.
And it's the same scene that I could not have stayed on the path that I've stayed on the past 18 months without the scene.
Just say when you say that, I think if anybody's wanting to come to the show, there's so many amazing themes, but I think one of the key ones is your story of recovery.
Yeah, redemption.
From, you know, alcohol and drug addiction and things.
And all sorts of...
Yeah, know, and it's been a glorious journey that we've had together. So we're looking forward to sharing it.
Yeah.
It will make people think.
It's something special.
Really, that's incredible. Especially with just speaking about yourself, Scully, with the mental health crisis becoming acutely aware of the mental health crisis at the moment. So you're saying for the past 18 months, this has really been quite vital for you.
Life-changing. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been a 360 in the past 18 months. I came out of a psychiatric unit, you know.
You spent most of the lockdown in a psychiatric unit.
And I knew that I wanted to be on a different path, but I didn't have a clue where to start. And that's when I knew Joy. I did know Joy. I've been into Affleck's loads. Joy had been to my house. Yeah. You know, as I do now, I have had a lot of respect for Joy. And I just trusted that, you know, that she may have a different way of doing things, you know.
But I think, well, if you come to the show, you'll see very clearly that this is not a one-sided thing. I've not taken on a charity case already. No, God, no.
Yeah.
No.
Again, we don't want to give
too much away. But this is, you know, what I've got from our friendship has been amazing. And the things that we do creatively, I suppose the show is a little bit of it. We do stand-up comedy now. We do all, you know, script writing. We do song making. We do, you know, we just do all sorts of things, documentaries.
Solidly for 18 months. So that's what's made the show so good. Yeah. Is that chemistry we share on stage. Sometimes three nights out of the week, you know, we're on stage. If it's open mic nights, if it's a pub in the middle of nowhere's built, you know, and there's one person there, you know, crying into his Guinness.
But the thing is, see, like,
we give it our all, don't we?
Scully's now writing poetry. I'm doing music, rap, you know.
Yeah.
it's spreading over. Yeah. And, you know, we're getting noticed by people as well. We've been, you know, to doing some headline stuff, and it's, you know, not necessarily our own, you know, comfort zone.
Yeah. But so this is brilliant. So talking about that then, the journey after this Fringe festival, where are you taking the show anywhere, or is it more the show has almost been a look, this is us, this is where we are, this is who we are, and now you're doing these headlining spots and branching out into various things, or is there
we've got the capacity to juggle so many balls at once and spin so many plates between us. We're not making any grand decisions until we do the show and see how it feels and what the reaction is. And we may do the same show somewhere else. We may change it. We may just put it on a shelf.
It's like a prompt type, if you like.
We plan to have fun doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we hope anybody we come in contact will have fun as well, although it's not just a laugh every second.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, is it? It's a crazy journey. Going
to
take them on.
It sounds like an absolute joy. It sounds like it's going to be vibrant, real life documentary theatre on stage. It's going to be fascinating, actually, just to spend some time with you. We can't wait to see you. They always say finish.
The thing is, we said at the beginning, right, who's our target audience? You know, who are we aiming at? And we realise it works for everybody, whether it's somebody who's, you know, older and aging, wants to think about aging differently, whether it's to do with education, whether it's to do with addiction, what age, what background, what circumstance. It really isn't, there's no niche market for it.
All demographics.
It's an inspirational story and it'll inspire everyone.
Oh, we hope. If not, as long as you sit and have a chilled, nice hour, that's fine. But if you're inspired, better.
Yeah.
So how are you, David Lee Morgan?
Pretty good. I'm really excited about the poems. I think they're possibly the best I've ever written. They're certainly as good as anything, which is
wow.
As good as Science, Love, and Revolution. More, I guess, more dangerous because of the topic.
Yeah, but yeah. Potentially so. And it's poems on gender. You're on the 17th of July at the Playhouse at 4 o'clock. I'm really looking for, well, as you know, full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a massive fan of David Lee Morgan's poetry. Massive fan. I thought the show that we had the last time in Edinburgh, Nazis Need Jews, was just one of the best hours I've spent. Not only did I laugh, not only did I learn, I really did. You educated me so much in that show. And it was really nice seeing what poetry can actually do. You know, really meaty stuff, man. It was a fantastic, fantastic show, which is why I'm really looking forward to this as well. So Poems on Gender, tell us about the show. We're having a discussion after the show because of the topics that it's going to provoke. Or the discussion topics it's going to provoke. But tell us about it.
Well, I started thinking about it a couple of years ago and writing some poetry a bit. But what really spurred it off was, I won't say what happened. It was a poetry event up north that caused me to write a poem called Gender Wars, where I said, this is wrong. You know, disagreement is good. Argument is good, debate is good, but war turning friends into enemies, that's wrong. And there are freedom fighters on both sides of this debate. And my Facebook just exploded with people either whispering, I kind of agree with you, but I'm not going to say anything. Or people who said, what the heck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. There are no freedom fighters on the other side. How dare you say that? And to be fair, some of them gave me a list of books and articles to read expounding their point of view. And so I went off and read all of those and read a lot more. And my feeling is that I was inspired by and educated and to a certain extent knocked on the side of the head by women's liberation in the 70s and 80s. You know, I learned a lot from them and some of it was painful. And I think a lot of the lessons of those days are being lost, and especially the separation that they drew between sex and gender. Sex is the human body. And gender is all the rules and all the BS that are laid on top of it. And you shouldn't let any of it control your behavior. If you're a man, you don't have to be as feminine as you want. If you're a woman, be as masculine as you want. Jobs, dress, ideas, ways of behaving. And I think a lot of that it's being reconflated again now that people are, you know, well, that's my show. I think I should probably stop there and say, because I spent, you know, almost 2 years now trying to say it clearly in a way that will give it the fairest hearing and not set people off. People hear things and it triggers them and they assume you're saying 10,000 other things that you're not saying. So,
right.
Yeah.
So this is actually using poetry in that very concise, very specific, very controlled way of saying exactly what it is that you want to say, choosing every word with care and meaning, and doing it presumably from a point of care, which is, as you say, lots of words now do trigger people off. So it's trying to avoid that.
I've had the experience of reading a really big chunk of these poems in a crowd of people who are much more on the side of gender ideology than I am. And I have to say, modestly, they loved it, you know, because they were hearing what I was saying and not all the other things that they think goes along with that I wasn't saying.
Right.
And so I hope that will be the same experience as I do these shows. I think that there is a huge amount of unity on both sides of this debate that is being lost by people, by sort of guilt by association and guilt by analogy. You know, well, you're saying that sort of the Hitler was a vegetarian argument.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Hitler was a vegetarian. You're a vegetarian. Well, you must be a Nazi too.
Exactly. Hitler loved animals. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I'm looking forward to the show and the discussion that we're going to have after it. It has to be
very
said.
Much so. I think yes.
The discussion that we have after it. And actually, there was someone in the audience Friday night who got up and did their poems on gender. And I told them about the discussion and would they be interested in coming along? And they said very much so. So it is. Yeah, I think it's such a polarizing argument. And you're right that people are almost, because the two points of view are so fixed and heavy, people get gravitated or pushed towards or dragged into siding on one side or the other. And as you say, there's a tremendous amount of unity there that is being lost.
Especially if you're a revolutionary. A lot of people are coming at this. I mean, the gender issue, you've got fascists coming in, you know, and Christian fundamentalists coming in and arguing for their point of view. And there needs to be a poll out there that's saying, no, none of that is me. This is, you know, I'm fighting for human liberation. And this is where I'm coming from.
I think this is probably out of the entire Fringe program, the show that's putting the world on a stage and reflecting the world at the moment.
I'm so excited about having the discussion afterwards where we can, you know, try it. Unity as the formula from the Cultural Revolution, unity, struggle, unity. Yeah. You start at a high level of unity, and then you look at the differences and you talk about those differences with the goal of reaching a higher level of unity and going further and towards liberation.
Absolutely beautiful.
I'm saying you're talking about me about some draft, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not gonna help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm gonna die, I'll die now right here fighting you. If I'm gonna die, you my enemy. My enemies are white people, not Viet Cong or Chinese or Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
And you've been listening to Beyond the Morecambe Fringe with me, Matt Parrish, for Beyond Radio.
You my opponent when I want justice. You my opponent when I want equality.